All right, everybody, welcome to Sports Fluent. I'm your host, as always, Anthony Kay. And this week, I have a special co-host. My friend Steph is joining us this week. How are you doing, Steph?
Hey, how's it going, man? How everybody doing out there?
All right, so we're just going to dive right into this week in sports like we do every week. We're going to kick it off with the NFL. And I'm going to throw out a couple of teams at you. And let me know what your thoughts are. And I'm going to start with your hometown and my favorite team, the Chicago Bears. They backed themselves into the playoffs, even though they lost the last game of the season. A lot of issues in the world of the Bears. What are your thoughts on the season and what we need to do this offseason? I know you have some pretty strong opinions here, so let's just kick it off right from the top.
Well, by virtually being a homer, I have to support the Bears, even though it's hard to watch them at times. Growing up in Indiana, you have to support the Bears. But, I mean, if we're being honest, it's tough to watch what's going on. From the general manager to the coaching to drafting, it's all abysmal. And it's a complete waste of a defense. If we're being honest, this defense is good enough, more than good enough to get the job done on to a Super Bowl. In my opinion, I believe they have been for about 3 years. The fundamental failure started from Ryan Pace, and Ryan Pace decided to draft a project instead of Patrick Mahomes, instead of proven commodity Deshaun Watson. We didn't even go Patrick Mahomes. Everyone knows that was a mistake. But the real mistake, in my opinion, was by far Deshaun Watson and this notion of running quarterbacks don't translate to the NFL. And they weren't able to project and see what was going on and what was actually going on in the NFL. Because if you were paying attention, it's turned into a mobile quarterback. If you have one, then you're ahead of the curve. And they could have been early on it, and they decided to go Mitch, who is mobile. He's not that he's not mobile. It's just that he lacks something fundamental as a quarterback, which is an ability to throw the football accurately.
Well, it's funny that you say that, right? It's funny that you say that. It's funny that you say that because if you look at the AFC, right, you have Lamar Jackson, the people that are left in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson, obviously Patrick Mahomes, both mobile quarterbacks, even Baker Mayfield, right? He can run the ball. They've kind of, you're
somewhat,
right.
Somewhat.
Yeah, Josh Allen is obviously can run the ball as well as he can throw the ball. So that's really, and it's funny because it does contrast to the NFC, right? Because Drew Brees, not so much anymore. You know, Tom Brady never could really run the ball. And so it's interesting that you say that. Now, the Patrick Mahomes front, I don't think anyone knew Patrick Mahomes was going to be this good, right? Let's be honest. I kind of give them a pass on Mahomes, but I don't give them a pass on Watson. And here's why. Coming out of college, he was dubbed the Michael Jordan of quarterbacks. How do you have a team in Chicago and don't draft a guy who's the Michael Jordan of quarterbacks, right? And then to your point about Ryan Pace.
Exactly. Exactly.
And to your point about Ryan Pace, he drafted Trubisky and gave up too much. Let's be honest. He could have just sat and not traded up and got Mitch, right? Let's be honest. But so he gave up a bunch of draft picks.
He would have still been there.
Still would have been there. But if you look at even who he wanted, he loves Marcus Mariota, right? He signed Mike Glennon, right? He drafted Mitch Trubisky, and then he brought in Nick Foles, right? He's 0-4. And what's the most important position? Quarterback, and he's proven that he can't pick one.
Quarterback.
Right? So that's my issue there. And you know, they knew the defense they had, and this year their stats don't show it. The defense as good as they're going to be, but I think that's because they were on the field so much because the offense was not capable, right?
I agree.
So, okay, we're not going to harp on the Bears too much. I think we all know Do you agree with me? Kind of wholesale changes?
I think one thing that they did was they got the wrong coach from Kansas City. They should have had Eric Bieniemy. That's who the real coach is. That was the real coach. Offensive brilliant mind from Kansas City, not Matt Nagy. And they didn't see that either. Now, it's too late. They probably won't get him now. If I was him, I wouldn't go there. So, and then as far as pace, it's a boys club and he's a part of the club. So Chicago tends to be loyal and hold on to people a little too long and get rid of them a little too late. So,
well, except for,
who knows? In my opinion, he'll probably be back.
Except for one of my favorite coaches, right? Lovie had a 10-6 season and they let him go. I think a little too early, but that's I'll let that one slide for now.
Who's that? Lovie. Oh,
10-6. Well, and you let him go.
You know.
Yeah. So okay. So that's enough.
That's on the a Bears. Topic for another day.
Yeah. I think we could talk about Lovie for a while.
Yeah.
So I'll throw another team at you because this team, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think anybody picked the Cleveland Browns to beat Pittsburgh this weekend, and yet they did. What are your thoughts on the Browns and their chances moving forward? Chase Claypool, just so you know, in case you haven't heard, already came out and said, it doesn't matter. They're going to get smoked in the next round anyways.
Chase Claypool said that after he got smoked by the Browns?
Yes, sir. Just today.
You would think they would have learned their lesson with Corvette, Juju.
Yeah.
He learned his lesson to shut up now. Listen, I first of all, they're a young team. They're a good team, though. I mean, they do a couple things really well. They run the football. They're committed to running the football. They have a great offensive line. They block well. They're great in all three phases. I'm not a huge fan of Baker Mayfield. I'm not saying he's bad, but I'm not saying that he is going to be the engine that pushes them to a Super Bowl. He's more of a passenger on the train type of quarterback. He's solid, but he'll be the reason why they won't win the Super Bowl this year. Who knows? He may get better. I personally just don't. I don't believe in his talent. I don't think it's enough.
He's tough. You know what's funny? He reminds me of the quarterback he beat in this sense. And I mean, Ben Roethlisberger. If he doesn't turn the ball over, he looks really good. But just like Ben Roethlisberger, when he starts turning the ball over, he looks really bad. Right? And to your point, with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, they got a good running game. They got a good running game. And I agree with you. I don't think he's the reason they win. And as long as he's not the reason they lose, they have a shot.
Absolutely. I mean, they have a shot. If I were them, I would not fall into the trap. Trap is to play keep away possession from Mahomes. That's the trap. But the problem is, if you get into too predictable, you end up falling into long third downs. And Baker has shown that he's one guy that he doesn't complete long third downs because all they're going to do is they're going to put two on Jarvis and force Baker to have to make tight window throws, and that's not his game. If I were them, I would utilize Kareem Hunt and his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. Yeah. That's the advantage that they have because the Chiefs are weak in the secondary and they are weak in linebackers. That's one of the weaknesses they have. Now, up front, they'll get to you. They'll get home. But I personally believe if they play that way in future Kareem Hunt, they could end up upsetting those guys. They got the talent to do it.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs. Be
honest, nobody's beating Mahomes.
I was gonna say I wouldn't pick the Browns, but I'm with you. I think they have the two. I think Buffalo has actually the best chance to beat the Chiefs.
I agree.
But I think you're right. Right, if they can get into those passing downs when those front four are rushing and they can, you know, utilize Kareem Hunt out of the backfield screen, you know, that screen game they do have a chance. And that, you know, if you're going to beat the Chiefs, right, they haven't been blowing out teams this year. So if you have a chance to, you know, keep them off the field, that offense off the field, you have a chance. You know, slim as it may be, you do have a chance.
You have a chance. It's great. It's the NFL is in a great position because it is significant talent going on in the NFL, from young quarterbacks to even old quarterbacks like Tom Brady still slinging the ball. They're in a great – I mean, look at the matchups. Drew Brees versus Tom Brady. Both teams are amazing. Rodgers versus the Rams, and then the Chiefs versus the Browns. And the best game might be the Bills versus the Ravens. It might be an amazing game. Yeah. I mean,
you could have two quarterbacks. You could have two quarterbacks rushing for 100 yards.
It's amazing. I haven't seen anything like this in years.
Yeah.
No, you may see that. That may be the first time you ever see that in football.
They both have the potential to do it.
I'm excited. I think it's going to be an amazing week of football.
All right, so we're going to shift gears a little bit now to the
NBA. I'm excited. I don't know who's going to win it. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so I was going to jump to the NBA, but let's hold on. Do you have some picks? If I kind of force you to make your picks for this week, who do you think's coming out of the AFC NFC?
Yeah, the Chiefs will somehow get out of the AFC somehow. I just think this year, the way they're set up, whoever comes out of the NFC is going to beat them.
Really,
and I personally believe that Tampa Bay will get past New Orleans and they'll blow out the Packers and they'll get to the Super Bowl, which is an amazing story because how long have we been talking about is Belichick or Brady?
Now, I think it's fair for everyone to know you are a Tom Brady fan, so you picking the Bucks to come out of the NFC isn't a big stretch. So I would use that as my segue.
But I'm unbiased though.
Right.
That's fair.
Yeah. All right. So if we switch to the NBA now this week, what have you seen?
I have a good reason why though.
Oh, give me the reason.
Yeah. So I grew up in Maryville, Indiana, and the town that I'm from produced nothing but D1 talent, including myself. I played basketball in college. But one of my good friends, Eugene Wilson, when we were in sixth grade, his brother, Eugene played for Illinois. Xavier was my friend, but Eugene got drafted by the Patriots. And this is right around the time when you start getting cognizant of football and what's going on. And he went to 03, 04, 05 Super Bowls and won two of them. And we actually got to go down, meet some of the team. And I became a huge fan from then on of the Patriots and Tom Brady.
All right.
That's actually how I became a fan of
them. All right. So you didn't
plus they won, and I used to see my dad and lose. So it's a fair. It's fair. It's fair.
Okay. All right. we're going to shift gears, go to the NBA. So far this year in the NBA,
yeah.
I want to know, give me something that has really kind of that you've liked about this season, or because we're on the verge here, right? The Board of Governors is meeting tomorrow. They might postpone or pause the season for 2 to 3 weeks because 2 weeks because of the COVID situation. So far, what have you really liked about this NBA season?
What have I liked? I like the fact that the young guys, they look good. That's one thing I was concerned about. There was no preseason. There's no right after the draft. There was no way for them to really get any experience, and the speed of the game is really fast. I was concerned that, you know, guys like who I think are going to be good, like LaMelo Ball, I was concerned that maybe the game might be a little too physical for them, maybe too fast, and you know, this wouldn't be a clear indication of what their true talent would show. But it's not. It hasn't been that at all. The game has been great. There's been a lot of blowouts, probably because a lot of teams haven't played together as much. I'm shocked that the Washington, I didn't think they would be this bad. I thought they would actually be very, very competitive, but they look horrible. Horrible.
Yeah. I got a lot of heat because I picked the Rockets and the Raptors in the East and the West not to make the playoffs. I took a lot of heat for that. And I was so
that's
far,
not taking a lot of heat.
Oh, I took a lot of heat for originally because everyone thought, you know, they'd be there. Now,
okay.
Obviously now based on record, people are like, oh, maybe you knew what you were talking about. But I also had Washington in the 8th seed in the East, and they have looked terrible, right? Like Bradley Beal said they couldn't protect a parked car or something, right? Like it's getting pretty bad there. Do you think they shake things up in Washington?
I'll be honest, I've seen enough of Scott Brooks from OKC. And for someone who played point guard, and speaking for myself, someone who played point guard, he doesn't run sets, and they need to. And that's the problem with Russell Westbrook. It's not that he's not talented. Russell Westbrook don't know how to play basketball. And that's the biggest problem with him. It doesn't matter where he goes. If he can go to the moon, he can go to the Lakers, he can go to the Warriors. It does not make a difference. Russell Westbrook needs to be in a structured system. And because he's not in a structured system, you allow him to freelance. And in the ebbs and flows of the game, he is not a type of guy who's going to consistently make great plays, winning plays. And that's the problem with no matter where he goes. That's why they're suffering right now. They're actually better off with John Wall on coming off an Achilles injury.
Well, John Wall hasn't looked that bad. But, yeah, I see your point. Like, Russell Westbrook has – it's tough because he has an incredible set of skills and energy. But when you don't shoot threes consistently, right, and you can't run a half-court offense consistently – it makes it tough, right? Like he's kind of like a shorter Ben, high energy Ben Simmons, or Ben Simmons is a taller, low energy version of him, right? They don't shoot threes consistently. Now Ben Simmons is a whole nother thing because he doesn't shoot them at all. But but you know what I mean? Like it's tough. Like, you know, you would think in the D'Antonio system he would have like just flourished, but when you think really, no, it's a three or a dunk or a layup. Well, yeah, he can't do half of those things. So he's going to have he's going to have trouble there. So it's funny, for all the great stats he puts up, I don't even know where he fits, because I think he's talented. I don't know how to make him work. And that's tough, because I can tell
the
you
empty
you,
stats.
Yeah. You give me any player and I can be like, oh, they'll, you know, they fit this system really well. He's maybe the only player in the history of basketball I cannot do that for. I cannot tell you where he fits. So on that, so there's some good stuff. The young talent kind of surprised you. What's been kind of the underperforming thing so far? Like, what is the thing that's just been like, got you? We obviously brought up Washington. Anything else where you're just kind of like scratching your head, like, how come they're so bad, or how come he's playing so poorly? The blowouts was big for me, but I think that's changing now, right?
I'm still trying to. It was for me too. It was for me too. I mean, the coach was got beat by 50 and then came back and beat somebody by 30. So I was like, I don't know what to really make of the season right now. I think people are still trying to catch. To be honest with you, some of these guys play deep in the bubble, so they really just got done playing. So it's not like they had the usual rest time in between a season ending and a new season beginning. And I can understand that. But I think one thing that I am interested in is the scene in Brooklyn. I don't know what to make of that team. I think what's going to end up happening is Kyrie is going to have a tough time, because there's two people that are better in that team than him. One is obviously KD. The second one is Caris LeVert.
Yeah.
Caris LeVert, I don't care what anybody says. If you just watch basketball, he makes winning basketball plays. He's bigger, he's stronger, and he's just as twitchy as Kyrie. He can get 50 in his sleep. I think he's a better player than Kyrie, but people look at me like I'm crazy. And if he was future as that player, he would be putting up 27-30 a game, easy. So this is my opinion. So they have some issues on that team.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because that was going to be my next question for you, was what your thoughts were on the Nets, because I think KD looks good. And to your point, I'll say this. I think Kyrie is more talented than LeVert, but his head, like what's in between his ears, makes me so nervous. Right. Ever since he asked for out of Cleveland and then the flat earth thing. And I know he took that back, but it just, I wonder where his, you know, why didn't you play the other day? I didn't feel like it. Stuff like that. Even if he meant it as a joke, just maybe I'm old school, just rubbed me the wrong way. And it's funny. I wonder if there's thinking now, maybe we should have gave him up in a James Harden trade, right? Like maybe James Harden, and not that that's a perfect fit either, but maybe James Harden KD makes more sense than Kyrie KD. I don't know, because even you know Harden right now, who came into the season out of shape, like let's be honest, he's still putting up numbers. He still looks good. Yeah. Do you think that's something they try to do, or is it too late?
Nah, it's too late because Dinwiddie is done for the year. He would have had to have been a part of that trade.
Yeah.
Caris LeVert is almost untouchable, to be honest with you. You would be a fool to trade Caris LeVert. And Kyrie has shown to be unreliable emotionally as well as physically because he's constantly hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of Kyrie. I believe he's an unbelievable talent, but sometimes I wonder, does Kyrie want to play basketball? And I don't like saying that about guys who hoop, because when you hoop, you hoop. But Kyrie has shown to me from Boston to Brooklyn, everywhere he goes, he seems to be more about himself than about the team and the things that will make the team better. And that type of attitude is a cancer. And people can see it. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. He's not a bad guy. He's a good guy. But he's a team killer. That's what he's known as. And until he's able to put the team first, he'll always have this problem no matter where he goes. So I don't believe – if I was the Rockets, I wouldn't trade James Harden for him. I couldn't rely on Kyrie.
Yeah. No, fair enough. All right. So we're going to take a pause there for a minute. And we're going to come back with a conspiracy. So how much do you know about the Jordan suspension / retirement, the first retirement, like some of what the conspiracies are out there about this?
I have pretty good insight story about this.
Okay.
That I've only shared with like friends before.
All right, so let's give a recap, right? So in 93, after the Bulls three-peat, Michael Jordan's dad obviously was murdered. He was traveling, yes. I believe, to North Carolina or South Carolina. He stopped his car. He had his red Lexus. He pulled over to have a nap, to rest. It turns out that two young men robbed him, killed him, and dumped the body in the swamp. Obviously, that affected Jordan. Prior to this happening, however, it should be known that the year before, in 92, Jordan had been called to testify why he wrote a check to a known drug dealer, pretty big check, and the drug dealer had stated on the stand that it was because we gambled and he lost on golf, and he lost a big sum. I think it was $30,000. Jordan had said it was a loan, but then when he was on the stand, he comes back and says, actually, yes, it was for this bet that I lost.
Yeah.
That drug dealer later goes on to say, I've taken more money from him than this before. And then 93, the NBA sets out an investigation into Jordan's gambling habits, right? Because they need to see, is he gambling on games? However, before that investigation goes any further, obviously what happens to Jordan's dad, and then Jordan comes out and retires and says, because of what happened to his father, he wants to pursue baseball. And one of the comments in the press conference was, well, who knows? Maybe if David Stern lets me back in, I'll come back someday. Which leads people to believe it was more of a suspension, yeah, right, than a retirement. The other piece as to why people believe this, right, is right, he was gone 18 months, which happened to be at the time the exact term of a gambling suspension in the NBA. So that's the groundwork for this. Why do you, what is the story that you're about to share with the world that no one else knows?
Okay, so my dad is the fire chief of Gary, Indiana. But back then, he was a paramedic and a paramedic fireman. So one of his side hustles was working the Majestic boats. I know you've been to Chicago, so they have casino boats,
yeah,
that are out in East Chicago, almost close to Chicago tri-state area. And he will work those scenes all the time. He also used to work at the United Center sometimes to do security and stuff like that. So when the Bulls would go to the casinos, they would request certain people be around them because they like to have the same attention constantly and be relaxed when they're around and not have certain people coming around bothering them. And my dad will watch him, Michael, Scotty, come in and gamble hundreds of thousands of dollars, he would tell me. And right after the alleged suspension, 2 weeks later, my dad was at the casino working, and who did he see walk through? Michael Jordan. And he came home and told us later, he was like, I don't think he's suspended. I just think that the man just got a gambling problem. But so we ended up finding that out about Michael. But his point was very simple. How could you suspend someone for doing something that's legal? I mean, he didn't do anything that was wrong, never did anything wrong. He never broke the law. Michael was unilaterally carrying the National Basketball Association. So you would decimate your ratings by allowing someone this crucial to just walk out of the door with no chance that he may not.
Mm-hmm. So here's the story that I got. So I'm with you, right? Like, I don't even think I want to call it a gambling problem.
Why did you walk away? Or, you know, and my dad one day asked him, because he would never talk to him really about personal things. He always respected them and respected his privacy. And he just asked him, it's like, how you doing with your father? And I guess that must have triggered him. And my uncle was also with him as well. They both worked the same job. And he told them both, saying, man, I promised him I have something planned. And he did exactly what he said he was going to do. And everything I've seen and read from Michael is this man, he doesn't do anything by chance. Whatever he says he's going to do, he's going to do it.
So it's funny that you bring that up, because a lot of the stories that I had heard as well. Now, I did hear one that says it was a suspension, not a retirement. And I'll get to that one in a second. But prior to that, everything I've heard from everybody else was, you're right, right? Like, he had promised his dad, at some point, I'm going to try this. When I've achieved everything I've done in basketball, I'm going to go back and try to play baseball, because I know that was your dream for me. And they were very close. Right. And they had those conversations. You'd even see it in The Last Dance, where they're talking about baseball pre his, you know, what happened to his dad. And it's funny, because you're like, yeah, like, he probably would have gone, you know, four. I personally think, had they won maybe four or five championships in a row, I think he would have retired any either way, right? And yeah, gone to do baseball. But again, with the dream that it was with his dad by his side.
Absolutely.
But here's the one thing, and again, this is from one person to another. So I'll give that. But here's you know, so we're just showing both sides of this, and then I'll tell you what I think. Mm-hmm. Was that a friend of mine, university he went to, he was roommates with J.J. Thorne.
Okay.
And J.J. Thorne, he tells me, I didn't know this person, so this is hearsay, I admit that. He says, J.J. Thorne is the son of Rod Thorne. Now, Rod Thorne, you may know, is kind of was a VP of basketball for the Nets, general manager. But prior to that, back in 93, he was actually working for the NBA in kind of disciplinary. He was the one that handed out suspensions. Mm-hmm. And so JJ, the way JJ tells the story is, I can't tell you anything. However, this is where I'm paraphrasing. However, my dad says it's a suspension. And that's what he told a group of guys at college. Who knows what they had been drinking or smoking that night. I guarantee you it was something. And that's how the story goes. So I kind of believe that as much as I believe in unicorns. However, it should be said that story is out there in the wind. So I'll say for me, yeah, I'm with you. I think it was a combination of things. So I think whether it's a gambling problem, and I actually think, look, it comes out in gambling, but I think he's got more of a competition problem, right?
Yeah, I agree.
He wants to compete in everything. And so gambling's just something where, hey, I want to win. And it's an easy way to get his win, to get his fix.
Right.
He's obsessed with winning, which is what made him such a great basketball player. It's what made him a champion, right? If you look at it, he never lost in the Olympics, right? Two trips to the Olympics, 2 gold medals, 6 trips to the finals, 6 finals wins. Like, he's obsessed, almost unhealthy obsession with winning. And I think it comes out in his gambling.
Right.
However, I think you're right. I think between the talk about playing baseball, his dad's death, the investigation, because the investigation is real, right? But the investigation of really, like, I'm your greatest athlete. And to your point, doing something that isn't illegal and you're going to investigate me. He's just like, all right, I'm going to take a break from this. I'm going to step away. And so I'm with you. I think it was an actual retirement. So we'll see.
I think it's one thing that people leave out about this, that whole thing. And they kind of talked about it in The Last Dance and about how Michael was maligned for that and kind of blamed for that. That's another reason why he felt compelled to step away. I believe he was burned out. I truly believe. From Jerry Krause to
Pippen,
just general basketball, the carrying the team, carrying the NBA, Nike, all of his promos that he had to do, he was completely burned out. And on top of that, his ace just got murdered. So, and then I'm being blamed for that. On top of that, I'm a criminal.
And I think people don't realize, right? Like, I hear this a lot, and we're going to get to this in a second. I hear this a lot from people who, I don't want to call, listen, Jordan haters, right? Like, people who say LeBron's the greatest of all time. And that's why I said, we're going to talk about this here in a second. It's this weird thing where you can't say two people are great. And it's, if you love LeBron, you have to hate Jordan. If you love Jordan, you have to hate LeBron. And that's wrong. That's wrong. However, the people that hate Jordan will say, well, see, that's why LeBron's the greatest, is because Jordan couldn't do it. He burnt out, right? He had to retire twice from the game. And you shake your head and you're like, well, hold on, look at everything he was going through. Listen, I'm going to give LeBron his credit, but at the same time, the expectation on LeBron is to be a great player. The expectation on Jordan was to be the best player and to win championships all the time. That's not all LeBron, right? He's got expectations, but not to win. Right? It's, hey, LeBron's great because he gets there, not because he wins. Right. And I know that in itself is going to be controversial, but people, I think, forget, like you brought it up a little bit, Nike, Gatorade, Ballpark Franks. Like, if you're from the Chicago area, you don't know all the endorsements that he had, really, right?
Hanes.
Yeah.
GM.
Yeah.
I mean, it just McDonald's.
Yeah, there's so much things pulling at his thing, and his one kind of constant, his solid, his rock, like you said, his ace, once that person's gone, you know, it's tough because you have all these things pulling at you. And if you don't have that foundation, yeah, you're going to need to take a break from things. So I think we agree to retire. And on that note, it really takes us right into our next segment, which is the fix. And in the fix, I know this is yours, right? We want to stop making excuses for LeBron. So I know what I think that means. What do you think that means?
The LeGoat, LeGoat James, as I call him. First of all, let me say this. I love LeBron. I believe that he's a top five player of all time. He's phenomenal. But there have been too many times where LeBron has come up short or flat out, in my mind, quit to be called the GOAT. And you can say whatever you want about Michael. You can say that, oh, he didn't shoot threes well. Well, you know, back then they didn't really shoot the three. But if you want to criticize him for that, great, go ahead. But one thing you would never, ever find one person to say is that Michael did not bring it and he was outplayed by anyone. Find me a time when that happened in the playoffs. It has never happened. He has never not brought it in the playoffs. And to me, when we talk about the GOAT, because you're nitpicking anyway, you're just picking based off what, you know, your heart and what your mind and the stats sometimes says. But if you can just look that up, look up the competition. They want to talk about the competition. How many 50-60 win teams did Michael beat? More than any player in NBA history. So I don't want to hear this thing about he didn't play competition. I feel like LeBron has consistently underachieved on the biggest stage. And there's not always a reason that, the other team had better players. That's not the case. He's always been the best player on the court. Always. Never. Name me a time who was better than him in the finals. Not one player. Even 07. Duncan was winding down at that time. He just had two knee surgeries. So he was getting ready to change the way he ran with the new knee place that they were putting on his knees. So I don't want to hear that he was better than him. He wasn't.
Yeah, it's funny because when you brought this up to my attention, you're like, hey, let's talk about this. Let's stop making excuses. I immediately thought of a couple of things. So I'm going to start with the ones that you brought up, and then I'll talk about the others. So the first thing is when you talk about his bringing it, right? On defense, and look, you got to look at offense and defense.
Sure.
On defense, no one has ever accused Michael Jordan of taking a playoff.
No.
You know that LeBron does, and it's okay. He needs to rest. I get it. He does a lot for his teams. But right. To your point, it seems like I always hear that, you know, well, he lost in the finals because the competition he had in the finals was tougher than the competition Jordan had in the finals. Well, right off, listen, that's an excuse. And here's the two reasons why. One, they always want to talk about dynasties. Well, but if LeBron's led teams had beat them, they wouldn't be a dynasty. I'll give you a pass. I shouldn't, but I'll give you a pass. I'll give you a pass on the last two against the Warriors with KD. I'm going to give you a pass on those. Okay.
But
hear me out. I'm going to give you a pass on those. So let me take those two out for a second.
Okay.
If you look at the other, so now there's eight. Two more. I'm going to take those Warriors teams out. He still had, the four times against the Warriors. He still has six finals runs. He's still 3-3. So even if I take out the four Warriors teams, right, and I'll get to those in a second. That's why I'm going to take them out. Against the Mavs, right? A very young OKC team, the Spurs, he's still 3-3. So it's not like he's got this great record even against the non-superstar teams. And to your point, Tim Duncan was winding down on the Spurs. Now the first time, I get it, right? He had a tough road in 07, right? That team that he had in the finals got swept. But he also got swept twice in the finals. He also lost 4-1 twice in the finals, right? Yes, so if you're the best player on the team, to your point, the competition, and the one I hear a lot is, well, the competition was better versus Jordan's competition. And my response to that, however, is always this, because they always tell me, oh, the players are better. They're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, they're more skilled. I'm not going to get into it's not, but I'm not getting into the debate. All I'm going to say is this. If his competition was bigger, stronger, faster, more skilled, aren't his teammates? Because you can't just say his competition is better, but his teammates all stink.
There you go.
They're all better or they're all worse. It's one or the other. And that's what brings me to the Warriors teams. So again, in the finals, to the Warriors teams, two of those teams didn't have KD, right? It was basically Steph and Clay and Draymond, who's half a star. I'm sorry, Draymond's not a superstar. He's not half a star.
Hall of Famer. Right? We have to stop calling Draymond Green a Hall of Famer.
Not a Hall of Famer, right? No. Here's why he's not a Hall of Famer. When you take Steph and Clay away, he's a, like Charles Barkley said, a triple single. Right. He's really good defensively, right? He can bring the ball up. He's a good energy guy, but he's a role player and he was a perfect role player for that team. But he is a role player. He is not a superstar player. So
they try to compare him to Dennis Rodman, but what they don't understand is that Dennis did two things great. Great. He was a dominant rebounder. Offensive and defensive rebound, and he was a dominant defender. Draymond is a good defender, and he's good at other things. He's not great at anything.
Yeah, he's a good all-around player. That's why he can get a triple-double in the right system. Absolutely. But he's not – right. I think he might be one of the most overrated players today.
I agree.
That being said, so you have Steph and Clay. Splash Brothers, they're fantastic. They're maybe two of the best shooting backcourt ever, if not one of the best, maybe, right?
Easily.
Well, you've got LeBron, who's the best player in that series, like you said. You have Kyrie, who at the time, like we want to look at this revisionist history and be like, well, Kyrie turned out to be crazy. But he wasn't then, right? He was an all-star point guard, right? They also had Kevin Love, who was an all-star. And the excuse is, well, Kevin Love and Chris Bosh, right? They always give credit to Wade and Kyrie and say Kevin Love and Chris Bosh for the Heat and the Cavs. Oh, they weren't great. Well, yeah, they were. They were all-stars who went to a team, gave up some of their stats, which made them look worse, to fit into a system. They're still that player. Right. They're still that player that can put up 30 and 10, right? And absolutely. And that's the part that I always fight when they say, oh, he didn't have the team. No, the Spurs wouldn't be considered, you know, this great team if he beat them. The Mavs. Right. The Mavs had a great run, but come on, they had Dirk and a really old Jason Kidd. The Warriors team, right? He beat the 73-9 Warriors team. And that, don't get me wrong, that's a big accomplishment. But he also had a more balanced, like he had a better team than they did.
Thank you.
It always seems that people don't want to say. Yeah, when he wins,
don't want to say that.
Yeah, when he wins, it's he's the best, and when he loses, well, it's not his fault. That's where I was going to go with all of this. Was that one excuse? Is it when he wins, he's great? When he loses, it's not his fault. Well, then yeah, because you're confusing something that's very important. Who's your favorite player, and who's the best player, and they're different things. I'm the first to admit my favorite player is Kobe Bryant. He's not the best, but he's my favorite. But it's because of the time that I grew up and who I was watching. And like you, I played D1 basketball. I got hurt. And just as I got hurt and was told I could never play again, Charlotte drafts this kid out of high school and he gets traded to my favorite team growing up, by the way, the Lakers. And now, hey, perfect. My Lakers have a superstar because I can relate to Shaq. Right? He's 7'2". I can't relate to Shaq, right?
But to
Kobe, you know, he's got a couple inches on me, but at the same time, I can relate to a guy who he'll be the first one to tell you he wasn't the most athletic guy in the world, but no one worked harder than he did. And I'm like, yeah, right. I understand that as a 6'3" shooting guard, right? I had to work harder than everybody else. I had to be fundamentally sound. I needed to be, you know, play positional basketball because I wasn't jumping over you. I wasn't running past you.
Right.
But, you know, I'd set a screen that you didn't see coming and my guy would have a clean dunk. You know what I mean? So it's those types of things that I could relate to Kobe more because, like I said, as I was going out, he was coming in.
Right.
So I think that's the thing is I'm a LeBron fan. So he's the best. And we forget about the past. And I think
it's a lot of that. It's a lot of revisionist history. But if you, I have a couple issues with LeBron, and that was one that I mentioned. But another issue I have with LeBron, the difference watching LeBron and Jordan is because of the fact that Jordan played in the triangle, and he played in an era in which they actually ran offense. And in that, it allowed other people to do other things. It allowed Dennis Rodman to be a 20-rebound guy. It allowed Scottie Pippen to be a point forward. It allowed Steve Kerr to bring the ball up. It allowed Steve Kerr to hit big shots. He empowered his teammates. He empowered Tony Kukoc to take shots at times and develop Tony. That's the thing that I have with LeBron that people don't really criticize, because LeBron does so many things great. When he needs his team to do things, they can't. Right. And why? Because you're coddling them. You're doing everything for this team. And one of the things that the best thing I thought he did last year in winning the championship was the fact that he continued to just give the ball to AD, let him go, give them the ball, allow your teammates to be able to do things, because you can't always rely on yourself. You have to use your teammates. And that's one of the reasons, if LeBron had done that and not been stat padded, as I believe he constantly does stat pads for rebounds and assists and stuff like that, if he hadn't done that, they may have won a few of those championships, because he would have had more energy to play defense and more energy to make big plays at the end of games, especially in that Mavericks series when he was at his apex physically. So if we take that back to the 73-9, I give him credit for winning that. But the reason why I don't give credit is because, like you said, they were a better team. They were a better defensive team. They were a little nastier, a little grittier. They were long. I don't care what anybody say. I watched Kevin Love average 27 and 15 for three seasons. So he's not a scrub. This guy was an all-world player. So he's been demonized and belittled because big men seem to have to take a back seat to LeBron. AD is the only one, because it's just him and AD. Now, if it had been AD, him, and Dwayne Wade, AD would have been demolished. Game would have been featured as well. So that's just the type of player that LeBron is, because he can't – it's not a player that's going to play off the ball. He doesn't move without the ball. He's not a catch-and-shoot guy. Jordan, you can run pin-downs for. You can move with him without the basketball, because he was a beautiful player. He could do everything from all three levels. And that's one of the biggest issues I have with LeBron. That 73-win team was not that good of a team. The San Antonio Spurs won 67 games that year. People forget that. Yeah. That season was horrible.
Well, it's funny because you brought up two really good points. So the one about him being kind of this ball dominant, you called it stat stuffer. It's funny because people don't want to admit this, but he's aware of his legacy. And he knows, if I could lead the league in all-time, that's why he's still playing. If I could lead the league in all-time points, you know, assists, you know, rebound, whatever those stats are, be close to the top, he says it. I can be the greatest of all time. He understands that. He's smart enough, right? He's one of the smartest basketball players ever when it comes to the history and the legacy. So he understands what he's doing. But the other, I got this week, and this is why I'm going to bring it up. Is, well, if he had a coach like Phil Jackson, he would have won more. And I always say, well, why do you say? I always ask the question. Why do you say that? Well, you know, Jordan came into this great system with Phil Jackson, and you know, he developed this. I'm going to get to it. Hold on. Developed this system, and it, you know, and he was with him the whole time, and that consistency created this great team. And I kind of go, timeout. You know nothing about history, because Phil Jackson came in as the Bulls head coach in Jordan's sixth season. It was his third head coach in 6 years.
Right.
And he told Jordan, hey, I'm going to take the ball out of your hands. I'm bringing in, you know, Tex Winter's triangle offense. We're going to take the ball out of your hands, and all your stats are going to go down. Go back and look at it. Points, assists, rebounds, everything of Jordan's went down, not because his play diminished. It's because the way the triangle offense is set up, and I can't teach people the triangle offense. I know it well enough to tell you, you're coming out of your natural kind of position. And when you come out of your natural position, you're not in a position where you're going to get a rebound or get an assist, because you might be, you know, where you might be a two guard, you might be, as you go through the motion of the triangle, you might be in a power forward spot. So you're not going to be able to get an assist. And people don't understand that. It's hard to explain because they think positionless basketball is something that's new. And again, I have to go and teach them about that too. But I say this for the point of coaching. I say, so in his sixth season, Phil Jackson takes over. He puts in this offense that takes the ball out of his best player's hands. They still go to the playoffs and lose to the Pistons. At that point, Jordan could say, I'm out, and leave and jump ship, right? Like LeBron did. He left. He said, I'm out. Cleveland's not doing it for me. And he left to Miami and built a super team. Or he could have said, Phil Jackson's not the guy. I need a new coach. What do you think Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf would have done at that point? They either would have traded Jordan because they were pretty cutthroat, or they would have fired their coach. He didn't do that because he was coachable. He said, okay, I see some potential here. Let's keep doing this. And what happens the next year? They win a championship. They go on to three-peat, and he builds this trust between him and Pippen and Jackson, where he's now loyal. He says, that's my coach. And people forget that was really the start of Jackson becoming a great coach. It's he got the respect of the greatest player in the game. And then people started to listen to you. And once you have everyone listening to you, it's really easy, not really easy. It's a lot easier to become a great coach if you have the greatest player. Right. And then what does he do? He goes to LA. He has Kobe and Shaq, right? Shaq leaves. He has got Kobe and Gasol. Once they lost Shaq, don't forget, they didn't win anything until Gasol came in, which they stole Gasol from Memphis, right? And then they
with his brother. He was traded for Mark.
For his brother. That's right. And that's when they start winning. So he's never actually won. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's not great, but like Popovich is probably a better coach. Other coaches that are better, but he's had the best player. If you think about it, he had Kobe, who's the best player in the 2000s. He had Jordan, who was the best player in the 90s. Right. Again, not taking anything away from him, but that was built. You know, I always say this to people that say this to me, is that if LeBron stayed in Cleveland and said, I want this coach, he's the best player in the game. The problem is he wants to be the coach. He wants to handle the ball. He wants to control. And look, that's maybe just in his nature. But when you try to control too much, you lack that coachability. And that has hurt him, which maybe he realizes, maybe he doesn't, has hurt his legacy more than anything.
I agree with that point a lot. If you go back to when Phil Jackson made the comment about LeBron, I don't know if you remember this. It was a few years ago when he was still in New York. Phil Jackson was talking about LeBron and the posse comment. And what he said was starting to come to fruition, if you really think about it, that LeBron is trying to change the narrative with his people on what validates a GOAT. And in that alone, should disqualify you, because Michael never had to do that. Everything he wanted to do, it was done on the court by destroying his competition. He never had to, when they were up 25 points, Michael was done for the day. He didn't need the stat pad. Right. He was getting 30 anyway, so it didn't make a difference if you played 48 minutes or 15 minutes. He was done. And I think because the new age guys are more cognizant of technology and everything is so readily accessible to you. You're so aware of how many points you got or how far away I am from the top 20. And that's important to them because they believe that that justifies you to be great. But to me, I can look at, what's his name? Bradley Beal scoring 30 points a game, and it's meaningless. You know why? Because his team didn't win. And Trae Young scoring 30 points a game, it means nothing to me because none of this their stats lead to success. And until you use those stats, Westbrook, another guy, just complete stats out of this world. But what is it? What does it do? It's meaningless. And I understand what Phil was saying. He was saying that they were trying to change. They were trying to move the goal closer to him without having put in the work in. And the work he meant was win a championship. No excuses. If you want to trade teams and change teams, okay, cool. But you better win. You better win.
You can't
change the narrative.
Everybody seems to forget, right? When he went to Miami, it was a big deal. And so I applaud him on one side. He kind of took the control of this kind of corporate ownership that had controlled where players go. And he said, no, I'm the player. I'm the one with the power. I'm going to go where I want. I applaud him for that. I do. However, you went and joined two top five picks who were both all-stars in your draft class. Yes. And you said not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, because you knew what is the point of playing the game. It's to win, right? You play to win the game. And when you didn't win, we changed this, like you said, narrative to, I'm the best. Well, no, if you play to win the game and then you don't win, don't make an excuse. You didn't win. I don't care why. You know, whether you win or lose, like, you know, the Raptors won the championship 2 years ago and everyone went, KD was hurt. And then in the last game, Clay got hurt. I don't care. I played the team in front of me, right? Just absolutely. Like, can I take away from LeBron that he went to 8 straight finals? No, but I could look at that Eastern Division and say, wow, like my high school team probably could have made it to at least 4 finals against that division, right? But just think about it. Cause if his Cavs were in the West, he never would have made the finals.
Now that you bring that up, you said it. So I didn't want to go there, but since we're going there, let's start. If you go from 2007, LeBron James has benefited more than any other superstar in NBA history by playing in the weakest era of basketball in his conference. 2007, his competition was the an old Detroit Pistons team that he did beat to get to the finals, which Ben Wallace didn't even play, something that no one brings up.
Never
the only all-star on the team, no one even brings that up, that he didn't even play. And Rasheed was hurt as well. And then 2008, he loses to the Big Three Celtics. He leaves. 2009, 2010, Celtics as well. Celtics and I believe Orlando was in there in 2009, which is another big upset that they shouldn't – there's no reason that he should have lost that to the Orlando Magic. 2011, now you're the super team. You're the guy, right? You're the guy. Who's your competition? Derrick Rose. I don't care what anybody say. I am a huge Chicago Bulls fan. We overachieved that year because we were a couple years too early, and Tibbs really pushed that team to get the max out of that team. They were not a championship team at that time. They were coming. They were coming.
Now they did have, I believe that was Derrick Rose's MVP year. Yeah.
That was Derrick Rose's MVP.
They had the number one seed
and they lose.
They get a huge upset and they lose to the 8 seed. If they don't lose to that 8 seed, does he get to the finals? And that was they had lost in the finals the previous year, right? And it was when they win that first championship in Miami. That was the year, right? Chicago was the one seed.
No. Is that so right? 11 was Derrick Rose's year. They lost to the conference finals to the Heat. Unfortunately for Derrick, he didn't have another guy on the team who can get his own shot. So once again, it was 3-on-1, and you're proud of that. 2012 was when he finally won. LeBron broke through against the baby.
Thunder.
Thunder. And he beat up on the Thunder. And then the following year after that, the Spurs.
And let me pause you there for a second. It's funny that when you bring up the baby Thunder, because everyone says, well, look who was on that team. Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Serge Ibaka. I'm like, hold on. You can't say LeBron at 22 losing, getting swept was because he was young. And then say, oh, look who was on that team. A bunch of 22-year-olds.
There you go. Exactly.
You can't. Flip-flop, it's one or the other, right?
That's a part of the narratives. They all fit whatever you want them to fit. And me, I am a truth teller. I'm just going to tell it like it is. I feel like He beat a young team. And the next year, I feel like 2013, out of all the championships that LeBron won, was the most impressive. Why? Because Duncan was just good enough to be close to his prime. He was about, you know, 2 or 3 years from being done, but he was still good. He was still one of the best big men in basketball, even at 35 years old. A young Kawhi, he was phenomenal. Danny Green, Tony, and Ginobili. That was a very good team. And that was the first time that I thought that when finally LeBron is neck and neck with a team, he didn't wilt. They actually won that series. I don't care if Ray Allen saved them, whatever.
Listen, I always say this. Ray Allen wouldn't have been open for that shot. Now, granted, it was a rebound from Chris Bosh or whatever. But Ray Allen, I put in the same – I'm going to put Ray Allen, Steve Kerr, Paxson, Robert Horry. Look, their job is to hit those shots. They don't, like Danny Green, right, last year. But those guys are in those positions because of the superstars, right? Kurt isn't a Hall of Famer. Robert Horry isn't a Hall of Famer. But yeah, they hit these shots. That's their job because, you know, you double, triple team a Jordan or a LeBron or a Kobe, and they better hit that open shot. That's what you pay them to do. And I'm with you. And then, but look what happens the next year, right? They come back after, like you said, with a neck and neck team, they come back and they lose again. And he leaves again.
They get destroyed.
I'll tell you and let's not forget this either. Of the four championships, two are in shortened seasons. So that first one was a shortened season. And then the bubble. I actually give last year's Laker team, and maybe it's because I'm a Laker fan, I give him the most credit. And here's why I give him the most credit for that one. It's a tough season. It's interrupted by COVID. You're in a bubble. And regardless of the role players, he only has one star beside him. In every of the other ones, he had two. Now, the downside is where people are going to say, but they played in a fifth seed Miami Heat team. Yeah, it's true. There's probably the weakest competition he's faced in a finals. But it's also probably
you play who you play.
You play. Exactly. I don't make an excuse.
I didn't make an excuse for that one.
No, I said Miami coming into the playoffs last year is the most dangerous team because I thought Jimmy Butler was on a mission and he proved me right. But they played him. He only had one star beside him, and Anthony Davis is proving to be a superstar player, and they won. And I think the reason I give him the most credit for that is that must have been a tough year in a bubble to do that. And he got the job done. He easily, could have lost to the Nuggets, who were on this incredible high, right? He easily could have lost to the Heat, and that would have been terrible for his legacy. But he didn't. They got the job done, and that's what you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to beat those teams. But you don't knock a player for beating the teams he's supposed to beat. And that brings me to the last excuse. Jordan was always the favored in the finals. Jordan was always favored in every finals he played in. And I tried to argue it, and they said, well, Vegas says. And I said, fine. Vegas says he was the favorite. But the teams have better records than him in some cases. In fact, four out of the six were the number one seed.
Right.
And the other time it was the number two seed. And the Lakers, I believe, were in the league, not just right. And the Lakers, I think, were the number three seed. That was the lowest seed he ever played, was that first finals against the Lakers at three. But they were favored. And I always bring this up. Yeah, but they were favored because it was Jordan. And Jordan doesn't lose. And so you're going to favor that team because he doesn't lose in the finals. Had he lost like LeBron did the first two attempts, would he have been favored in the third one? Probably not, because he's not known as a winner. So I take that excuse, right? And we throw that one out the window too, no?
No, I agree. Winning cures all. And we can debate stats and PER and wins above replacement and whatever else that a nerd in from Harvard came up with that try to quantify basketball that makes sense for himself. I don't understand that stuff because I don't understand one thing. Does the ball go through the hoop or not? I don't care about anything else. And I watched Michael Jordan. I watched him against great competition. If they want to say the guys are bigger and stronger and faster, I personally know that that's just not the case. Guys are just more versatile nowadays. Guys are just they're the same tall guys. It's just that the tall guys are doing more things, more expectations, stepping out and shooting. That's really all. That's really all. And if you know basketball, you know that teaching your body muscle twitch, doing muscle repetition, doing things over and over and over again, even if you're 300 pounds, you can develop that skill and muscle memory to be able to do these things. So it's not like human evolution has garnered some type of ability for these guys to be able to run like gazelles or something. No, it's just not true. It's
We don't evolve that fast.
We don't. Usain Bolt is a freak. He is just an anomaly. Yeah. Trust me. If that was the case, I would see a million Usain Bolts and people breaking his record. But you don't, because he's just an anomaly.
They keep trying to use the exception to the rule. They keep trying to say, well, look at LeBron. He's a 6'9" point guard. The game has changed. I'm like, no, LeBron's the exception to the rule, because I can go back to the 80s and I could say, well, look at Nolan Ryan. He pitched complete games all the time, 9 innings.
Right.
Pitchers today can't do that. They don't do that. Their bodies break down. Well,
I thought they're bigger, stronger, faster.
Yeah. I said, so are we not or what? No, Nolan Ryan was just a freak of nature. He's an exception to the rule. And, you know, I got into this as well with positionless basketball. And they're like, it's positionless basketball now. And I said, no, it's not. Because if you think now, are guards interchangeable, like a 1 and 2? Yeah, a little bit more than before. Are 4-5 interchangeable? Sure, because we're playing 6'9" centers, right? Which is a lot smaller than we used to play them. So of course they're interchangeable. Can a small forward bring up the ball and be a point guard? Well, sure. LeBron's a 6'9" point guard, but so was Pippen. He was playing point guard. So was Magic Johnson. He was playing point guard. He was 6'9", right? In any other circumstances, he'd be a small forward. Heck, probably a power forward today.
Right.
And so when they say positionless, and then my next thing is, well, is Jokic anything other than a center?
Jokic is a point center.
Is Draymond Green a center or something else? Forward. Not Draymond Green, excuse me. Andre Drummond, is he not a center? Right. Like there are still clearly defined positions. They just might be a little bit more interchangeable. And that's when I brought up earlier about the triangle, where you're moving around and playing out of position, and that's what creates mismatches, and that's why that offense is so great.
And that's why the Warriors were able to win 73 games, as well as the Spurs almost won 70 games that same year, because the league was bad, and Popovich recognized that one quarter was all it took. One quarter of selfless basketball, moving without the basketball, setting picks, real basketball. That's all they did. They didn't invent the wheel. Stephen Curry didn't do anything that Mark Price didn't do. They ran the same type of offense that's just always been ran. But because guys don't play that way anymore, they don't want to play that way. It's an isocentric basketball league. That was the reason.
Guess who started that? We got to give him the blame for that one too, as much as we give him credit.
We got to give him the blame for that. But you know what? He did play it in the system though, as much as he could, as much as he could. So I don't have no problem with LeBron. I just think that you have to be fair. You have to be honest about everything that's happened. And in between that time from 07 to now, while he was in the Eastern Conference, I would say that 99% of the years, he did not face a team that was championship worthy. The one time he did was decent was the Indiana Pacers. Paul George, Roy Hibbert. I don't know. People don't get that team credit, but that was a really good team. They were long. They were lanky. Now, I'm talking about the first year, not the second. Yeah. The first year had Danny Granger before he blew out his knee again and kind of ended his career. That team was, I really felt that if Paul George had been a 27-point scorer, Paul George, they may have beat that Cleveland team.
Oh, I know. And the last couple of runs, it was the Toronto Raptors that were standing in his way. And look, as much as
I never believed in them.
I love Kyle Lowry. And I really like DeMar DeRozan. However, that's not a championship team. Like it's no disrespect to those two guys. But there's a reason why it took Kawhi Leonard, right, at his absolute best to get that team over the hump against an injured Warriors team. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And it took them a big shot, right? A big three against Philadelphia, even to make it that far. And a great series comeback, right? They were down 2-0, I think people forget, against the Bucks, right? It took a lot to get to that point. But yeah, you know, DeMar DeRozan, like I said, really like him. He's not your best player on a championship team. And
let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If you took that Warriors team, I mean, not the word, that Cavs team that beat that 73-9 Warriors, 2016 Cavs, if you put them versus Kobe and Shaq, who do you think will win?
Kobe and Shaq.
Just a quick. If you put that team, that Cavs team, against the 90s Bulls team, any of them, who do you think will win?
The Bulls.
If you ask these people this question, they will agree. So why are we making it a big deal that they beat the 73-9 Warriors?
Because of the record. And we just look at numbers. And we just look at numbers. That's the problem. And it's funny because it's funny because the last excuse is always the stats. So I always get thrown stats at me. And I say, well, hold on. If we look at the stats, I always go to per game, right? Because obviously longevity, listen, there's no one better at longevity. No one has been able to sustain their prime longer than LeBron James.
Kareem did.
No, if you look at Kareem, his numbers tail off, right? LeBron has been consistently good now for 17 seasons. Kareem's up there, don't get me wrong, but I think
that's more towards because of the era.
For sure, he takes care of his body. Yeah, he puts in $1 million a year to take care of himself.
Right.
But my point is, I always bring it to what you can compare, right? Which is per game. And right. I always bring this up. I said, so Jordan is obviously averaged more per game points. Offense. Cool. We're talking offense. Just offense. More points, more rebounds. People don't even know that Jordan offensive rebounds averages more than LeBron. And then LeBron has assists and Jordan has assists, and then Jordan has fewer turnovers. So offensively, when you look at the per game numbers, Jordan wins out. It's like 4-2 in terms of those key stats. Defensively, free throw percentage. Oh, that was it. Yes. Free throw. Yeah. So LeBron has field goal percentage by 0.7, and people call him a better shooter. And I go, hold on. Jordan's 10% better from the free throw line. That's shooting too, isn't it? And not that you should do this, but if you take out the 2 years in Washington where Jordan shot horribly, he actually has a higher field goal shooting percentage than LeBron. And he's also shooting mid-range jumpers versus, you know, 50% of LeBron's James are within three feet. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. When you look at offensive stats per game, Jordan wins. When you look at defensive statistics per game, Jordan wins. So then they go, when you look at accolades, right, Jordan wins. So that they say, so of course, what they come back to me with is, well, total stats. And I go, well, if you look at total stats, Karl Malone actually leads in more categories than LeBron and obviously Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So I said, which one's your GOAT, Kareem or Malone? Because they both have better total stats. Oh, but when it's all said and done, LeBron will lead in those. I said, well, then don't have the conversation yet. Wait till it's all said and done then.
Wait till
it's all said and done. All right.
I agree.
So those are the excuses. We need to drop them. If you had to, now I clearly know who yours is, your GOAT. But I'm going to leave on this. We didn't even talk who the term GOAT didn't even exist, right? Until Jordan came onto the scene. And I leave you with this final one because I love comparing things to football. Tom Brady has been kind of given the mantle of the GOAT of the NFL.
Yeah.
The reason he's the GOAT is, you correct me if I'm wrong, he has 6 Super Bowl wins and 3 losses. So he's 6-3 is his record. Mm-hmm. Joe Montana is 4-0. Mm-hmm. If Joe Montana was 6-0,
Joe would be the GOAT.
And Brady was 4-6. Would you still call Brady the GOAT?
You would not.
Right? So why did Brady take over? He obviously has the stats, but then he went to more Super Bowls and he won more. You can't go to more and lose more. right? You can't, you know, it for so people ask me, could LeBron become the GOAT? And I said, sure, if he like wins 7 or 8 titles and he's still the best player on those teams, because I knock Kareem for this. Why I don't put Kareem as my GOAT, because total stats, Kareem should be the GOAT. He's been to 10 finals. He's won 6 of them, right? Yeah. He's won the NCAA title 3 times in a row, back to back to back, three-peat. He was actually won his high school titles, national titles too. So if you look for not just NBA, if you look at basketball, actually Kareem probably is the GOAT.
He's the greatest basketball player to ever play.
Yeah. That 100%. He can't question that. However, his last 2 titles, he wasn't the best player on his team. So that's why I kind of knock him and say, okay, he's got 6 out of 10, but the last 2 are iffy. And that's the thing with LeBron, is that he's getting to that point, right? Dangerously close, where, you know, last year he was better than AD, not in the regular season, but he was better than AD in the playoffs. If there's a point where he wins another 2, but he's not the best player on his team, that makes it even more murky, right?
Yes. And you said something that's good that I've always brought up. Why bring up overall accumulative stats if it's LeBron a better rebounder than Larry Bird, who averaged 24, 10, and 6 for his career? Is he a better rebounder than Bird? No. Is he a better passer than Magic Johnson, who averaged 11 assists for his career? No, he's not. So don't bring, he makes people better, because he doesn't. We've just covered that.
Yeah.
Chris Bosh became a role player. Kevin Love became a role player. Kyrie became a role player. That's why he left in the first place. He didn't want to play with LeBron no more. So he doesn't. He makes himself better. He makes the players that are just bench warmers better, but he doesn't necessarily make all-stars better. So if he doesn't make all-stars better and diminishes former all-stars, he doesn't have the all-time stats. He doesn't have the all-time accolades. He loses in defense and per-game offense. And on top of that, he doesn't have the most wins. So how could he be the GOAT? There's no way around that to me. I believe that the only reason he did is just complete recency bias, just like the people who call Stephen Curry the greatest point guard of all time. I personally have mixed feelings. I love Stephen Curry. I got to play in ABCD camps with him and see him up close in high school. But you can't sit here and tell me that he could carry a team by himself. Now, this year, he may prove us all wrong, and he may go out and, you know, he may actually do it this year. I don't know. I don't think he has that ability.
I think people fall in love with certain things, because I guarantee you in 10 years from now, the guys who are saying LeBron's the greatest of all time, their kids are going to be telling him that, you know, John Smith, whoever the next player is the Luka greatest, right? It might be the next guy after Luka, right? Is the greatest of all time. And the reason is we've fallen in love with Curry. And I'll tell you why. You can't do what he does, but you feel like you can, right? He's like a 6 foot, I think he's my height. I think he's 6'2", 6'3".
He's 6'3".
Right?
Six three.
And he can dunk, but he doesn't dunk, right? Not everybody can do these spectacular dunks. But we can all dream about shooting a half court 3. We feel like we can do what he does. We can shoot the ball, and we forget that. He's maybe one of the greatest shooters of all time, but he's not the best assist, you know, point guard in terms of passing of all time. He's definitely not the best defensive point guard of all time. So it's great that he's the greatest shooter. That's great. I'll call him the greatest shooter all day. But he can't be the greatest point guard if he can't do anything else.
I personally believe 2 things about him. 1, he's the greatest shooter of all time, but he's not the greatest shooter when it matters. The greatest shooter when it matters that I've ever seen is Larry Bird, Reggie Miller, and Michael Jordan. Those are the greatest shooters when you need a bucket. You just got to have it. I don't care if it's buzzer beater. I don't care if your hand is in the face. I don't care how, you got to get the bucket. Those 3 will get a bucket. And Curry would never be that. Most of all, he can't be that because of his size. It's harder for him to create than those guys who are 6'7", 6'6", and better athletes, taller and longer. But most of all, it's just his size that he's not able to separate consistently like that in a last game shot. But the other thing that I really feel about Curry is Isaiah Thomas is a better player. I don't care what anyone says.
Isaiah Thomas is better than
Stephen Curry. Now, he cannot shoot like Stephen Curry. No. One thing that he could do that Stephen Curry can't do, when the game needs to be won and he needs to carry his team, I watched the man on 1 foot score 25 straight points in the second half in one quarter. So that's something that Curry has still to done. He has not won a finals MVP. And the reason he hasn't, because other players on his team have been more impactful than he has when in the biggest moments. That's why he doesn't have a finals MVP. He is not as good as Isaiah Thomas. He is not as good as Magic Johnson. If you want to go home from third to 10, I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah, no.
And no one is going to tell me that he's better than Isaiah Thomas.
You're not going
to get... Much as a jerk as Isaiah Thomas is.
Yeah, hey, listen, if we're just talking on the court, and that's the thing that I think, and that's why I say we fall in love with one thing, right? We fall in love with Curry's shooting, right? We fell in love with Sean Kemp's or Dominique Wilkins' dunks, right? And if you don't look at the all-around full game, you're missing out, because you're going to be blinded by the highlights, right? I love watching Steph, you know, take a step over center and shoot a three.
Everybody does.
You know, with 22 seconds left on the shot clock.
It's exciting. It's
amazing. It's fantastic. But that doesn't, you know, my coach used to always tell me, it's great to get a dunk. It gets the crowd going. It gets your teammates going. But I'd rather you make a layup than miss a dunk.
Right.
Because it's 2 points versus zero. And that's the thing with Steph, is when Steph gets down, you know, he gets down, right? So,
yeah.
And again, you know, it's funny because we're nitpicking, right? Like I have LeBron at number two. I know you had in top five. I got LeBron number two.
I feel like LeBron number two as well.
Yeah. Actually. So we're nitpicking on him. But it's, you know, people will say, oh, you hate. How can I hate someone and say they're the second greatest player of all time? That's not hate, right? This is just reality. And we'll end the fix with this. Stop making excuses and remember that fandom is different, right, than analysis.
Absolutely.
That's this week on the Sports Film Podcast. You know, man.